This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Al Ahsan Foundation's podcast. I have a question for you all. What is your purpose in life? What is your purpose in this life and your commitment to your life and your family? We're hoping to explore the expectations of the purpose of life, inshallah, in today's special podcast. I have two special guests today. For our first guest, joining me today is Abu Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you today?
Ahlan wa sahlan.
I haven't seen you for about 10 seconds.
That's it.
Inshallah. And joining us all the way from Texas, assalamu alaikum, brother Yusha. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm fantastic, my brother. Fantastic.
How's the weather there in Texas?
Hot.
Very hot, I hear.
So hot here that the communities this weekend were praying Salat al-Istiqaa for rain.
Subhanallah.
Allah make it easy, inshallah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy, inshallah. So I have a question for you both, inshallah. I got approached by a family friend a few days ago who's going through a few personal issues. And their talk is lately almost suicidal. And coming from Islam, obviously, suicide is haram. So my question to you both is, you know, what is the purpose and direction in our life for these brothers or anyone that is actually going through these sort of thoughts, Muslim or non-Muslim? Obviously, we mental health, especially for men lately, is a very sensitive topic that, you know, as men, we always try to brush it under the carpet. And I'm sure people have actually approached you both about this. What would your thoughts and what is your feedback like when you hear these sort of stuff from community members and outside community members?
Bismillah. You know, I have some importance about this topic because, number one, I've actually dealt with a number of suicidal people in my counseling sessions that express suicidal thoughts. It's actually a staggering rate. Not only that, but not only do we not talk about men's mental health, and we're not leaving the sisters out at all. Trust me,
yeah,
we're
going
to get to the whole thing. Men's mental health is a very untalked about subject in general in the world. Muslim men's mental health is an even more taboo topic. And there is actually a rise of suicide rates amongst men in the Muslim community. We know that suicide rates amongst men are tremendously more high than they are women. But now we're starting to see this within the Muslim community. Actually, I spoke to a brother today who said within the past 3 months, there have been five brothers in the United Kingdom who have taken their own lives. Oh. Muslims who are known to be Muslim. They come to the masjid. You see them at Friday prayer.
Yeah,
they were
yeah.
going on. They were going, dealing with things behind the scenes that they would not tell anyone. They didn't feel like if they did tell anyone would care. That was one of the suicide notes was left, was that this got so bad that I felt like I couldn't speak to anybody. And before it was too bad, I didn't feel like anybody would even care. And I don't feel like anybody's going to care that I'm not here anymore.
Yeah.
So the brother took his own life. And I've actually spoken to three sisters over the past year who have lost either their spouse, their brother, or their father to suicide. So this is something that we really need to discuss. And I believe it goes back to what you were talking about, Ahmed Danoon, is not understanding purpose and not understanding the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how it works in our life and test, et cetera, so on and so forth. But it is something that needs to be discussed.
Yeah,
it is a taboo topic. Men's mental health is a taboo topic. And suicide amongst men in the Muslim community is something that we're just sweeping under the rug.
Would you say it's more like, you know, their own personal fulfillment that they see that it's not reached? What are your thoughts on this?
Look, I saw a clip the other day on Facebook, and subhanAllah, it wasn't about Muslims. So the person that was speaking was asking a question saying, you know, if you have a problem. And I think it was a lady that was actually asking the question. So she was posing the question, when you're going through depression or you have an issue, who can you turn to? She had maybe 10 or 15 men, I can't remember the exact amount of men, but it went for a while. Each and every single person or male said, I go to no one. They said, there's no one there for them. nor can I go to anyone to open up to. I just have to deal with this. And this is another thing. You just have to suck it up, as they say. You know what I mean? Just deal with it. You're a male. You have to deal with it. So whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, whether it's whatever it may be, you just have to deal with it. You know, if a man does open up, a lot of people say, oh, look, this guy, he's a wimp. You know, he can't handle himself. He's not a man. He's not this. So there's so much stress on men dealing with these emotions and having to deal with them by themselves, unfortunately.
You know what's interesting on that point? Like this day and age, I don't know if you have that over there in USA. You ask a man or a woman, whoever it is, how are you today? What the general consensus response is nowadays, can't complain, no one will listen.
True.
And whenever they say that, like we've actually turned it almost into mockery, where you know you snigger about it and you keep going with the conversation that you have. But deep down, when someone actually says that, they could be actually going through some sort of traumatic experience or something's actually happening in their life that they can't complain to anybody because no one will listen to them.
That's true. Brother Yusha, as well, what we have here in Australia, one day a year, we've actually got a Are You Okay Day. So this is where you turn around and say to the people that you're supposedly close to, are you okay? Just to open up a conversation, even though you may
but
be
do
seeing...
we mean it?
That's the thing, because if you're actually around the person, let's just say, you know, you work with an individual. How can you turn around and say, oh, once a year, are you okay? Well, you're dealing with him every day, you know, 5 days a week or whatever it may be. So again, I think...
Yeah, we set off one side a day to it. I saw that same clip that you're talking about, Abu Ahmed, has been going around for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
You know, where these men are just like, I have nobody. I have no one to go to. But then I saw something else because I, because of the fact that I deal with counseling and mental health, I watch a lot of these mental health podcasts and books, etc. There was one that was so, it was profound to me. It was that, you know, women say they want men to open up to them, right? That, you know, they say that now, that mental health's become a bigger thing. They were like, but in reality, you don't want that man to open up to you, because what happens when he opens up to you, what Ahmed Dhanoun was saying, the moment he opens up to you, and let's just say he breaks and he starts crying and he starts, you know, immediately you start looking at him lower and lower and lower and lower until you don't respect him anymore.
Yeah.
So you say you want him to open up. We say that we want men to open up, but when they do open up, we see it as a sign of weakness.
True.
And that is the problem. Whereas opening up, if anybody been through mental health, and I have had my own, I was very open about it in my podcast and stuff like that. Like I had my own mental health struggles from my childhood, etc. Opening up is the most powerful and strongest thing that a man can do. Actually going, we don't do this, and especially for us older generation men, which I think all three of us are from that generation, except Mr. Danny's the baby over there. We were not taught to open up. So opening up that can of worms and talking about our problems, talking about the things that bother us is actually a very powerful thing. But if we receive on the other end of that negativity or bad response, we will never do it again. We'll never do it again.
And then the man will just close up and he won't open up ever again, which is a big problem. And that's where the thoughts of suicide will come in, because he feels that he can't trust anyone. I trusted you. I opened up to you. Now that you're looking down at me or using this against me, how am I supposed to open up anymore?
Especially if they try to open up to someone who's very close to them, the reaction that they were expecting or the support that they were expecting doesn't come to what their expectations were.
Yeah.
They're never going to open up again. Like they're not going to trust somebody that's outside his circle or her circle for that to happen.
And it is unfortunate. We had some people that we knew in the past, hit by trains. We actually watched one of them. Prior to that, the brother that we used to see, we didn't think there was a problem with him. It was just around us, was happy, would speak, all this sort of stuff. The following week, we're washing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he told me that. Yeah, he threw himself in front of a train.
Yeah, wallah.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
I have two brothers who came to me suicidal, and the reason why they went to the point of suicide and were thinking about it was because they were having mental health struggles. They opened up to their wives about it. Their wives filed divorce from them because of it, and then used that in court to take their children from them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a man decides to open up about his mental health struggles and what he's going on, and his wife's like, what's wrong with you? Why are you so snappy? Why are you short-tempered? Why are you closed off and recluse, and you don't talk to nobody? You don't come home too late. And he opens up about the fact that he's struggling mentally. Maybe he's going through anxiety, depression, you know, things are going on financially, and he doesn't want to share that burden with his wife. Then he opens up to her about these things. She uses it as a reason to leave him, and then goes to the court and says he's mentally unstable. He doesn't deserve to see his kids.
SubhanAllah, what... You know, what impact would that also have to his psyche?
Look, again, we don't want to say us and them. We're not here to you know, blame the women or blame the men or all these sort of things. We know it's an issue. It is an issue. You know, but again, going back to the point of, you know, understanding the question that you had, what is your purpose in life in terms of that? I think people have to come back in terms of, okay, why did Allah put us on this earth? Yeah, وَمَا خَلَقْتَ الْجِنُّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create the man or the jinn, yeah, except for us to worship him. And this is a focus point of us. Okay, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created us to worship him. We know there's tests and trials. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the one that went through the most tremendous trials more than anyone.
Yeah.
And through his seerah, you can see this, and there's many, many examples that we can give of that, subhanAllah. You know, one being when they were digging the battle of the trench, when they were digging, and you know, they came to a big boulder, and they came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "Ya Rasulullah, there's a boulder here, we can't remove it," and all this sort of stuff. They came, he hit it, it broke into pieces. Then they noticed that the Prophet ﷺ had a rock on his stomach, where he was starving. You know what I mean? And this is the thing: Allah gave him that power, but then again, he was suffering. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So for us all to understand, we have to first and foremost turn to whom? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's our savior. He's the one that created us. He's the one that can make things go away. So the solution here, our purpose is to worship Allah, is to put our trust in Allah, is to pray to Allah. Through these tests, what do? We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you have the our mentor, who's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he do? How did he do things? Many times you hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing in prayer at night. He's in battle during the day and he's standing all night, crying, standing in prayer, being steadfast and firm, and he was going through so much. His family, they rejected him, they kicked him out of Mecca, he had to lose everything of his wealth, and all the Sahaba went through the same thing. But again, going back to the point, they had one another, and I think that's the key, they had one another to speak to. Before one another, they had who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they had true trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he would listen.
They also had the understanding, the concept that life was not all cotton candy and rainbows.
True.
You know what I mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, you know, in Surah Al-Ankabut, do you think that you're going to say you're going to believe and we're not going to test you? Like, life is not supposed to be, especially for the believer, it's not supposed to be an easy road. And I've said this so many times, and I've told brothers, like, if you say you're a believer and you're never being tested, Allah's not putting you through difficulty, you don't have hardships, you don't have anything, you should be worried. You should be worried. If you say you're a believer and your life is just super easy all the time, be worried.
Check,
I'd be concerned.
100%. Check your amen.
I would be concerned. Yeah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah tests those whom he loves. So if I wasn't getting tested, I'd be wondering if Allah loved me.
Yeah.
But we do need a support system. That's a problem. I could go very deep down the rabbit hole with this. I'm not going to. But part of it is, if you look at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, It was I'm not saying tribal system in the terms of asabiyya, but it was a tribal system in the terms of there was a community, and that's the way it used to be for a very long time.
Yeah,
like people lived in communal groups, and then what happened after World War II, especially in the West, they started sectioning off the suburbs and, you know, the nuclear family, and people moving out on their own, away from their in-laws, away from their extended family, and then we cut off that, you know what I mean? We cut off that connection to the rest of our tribe. And we see that as Muslims now. Like, everybody, you could have a neighborhood that's full of Muslims and nobody knows what's going on in anybody else's life.
That's right.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, that we don't have that sense of community anymore.
That's true.
You know what I mean? We don't have it. We're all living our own lives.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know what? It's funny you should actually bring that up, because, like, let's use the pandemic and social media and people becoming introverts as a result of, you know, the pandemic and them getting used to isolating themselves. Do you think that's also had some sort of impact which has made them move away from being social?
I had COVID 3 different times, and since then I've had a plethora of different health issues all of a sudden that have popped. They were always there, but now they're so much more pronounced. You know what I mean? These heart issues I have, these other things, they just all of a sudden just like boom. But what Danny was talking about, one thing that I do know that happened during the pandemic that was a tragedy is so much reliance on social media.
Yeah.
You know, social media was already a big issue. It was already a problem with how people perceive themselves, people looking at other people's lives not that weren't realistic anyway.
Because they have nothing better to do.
But the pandemic pushed everybody towards social media. Everybody was on socials all day long, and they got used to doing that, which gave us a very false sense of reality. You know what I mean? You go on social media and you see all these other people apparently living these amazing life. When you go on social media, everybody's living an amazing life. Yeah. And here you are like, oh my God, my life is, you know, life is terrible. And one thing that I have learned through psychotherapy is that when you're ungrateful, your mental health will be tragically affected by it. And this is part of the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَيْزَدَنَّكُمْ, that if you're grateful to me, I'll give you more. But what does the end of that verse say? If you are ungrateful, know that my punishment is severe. Ingratitude begets Allah's punishment in your life. And that's what we've done now. We look at social media. We see these people who look like they're living the most lavish lives. They're flying everywhere. They're staying in Turks and Caicos. They're living in these fancy hotel rooms and look like they're driving, you know, Ferraris every the weekend. A lot of time just rentals. They're living a facade life. And then we're trying to live up to that.
Yeah.
It's unrealistic standards. Yeah. Get off the social media. Get off your phone.
The society, especially kids growing up from a tender age, there's a phone. Keep them quiet. Don't let them cry. Don't let any. Us growing up, I think we mentioned this before. Us growing up, yeah, we would go out, play, from the time we wake up until Maghrib time, then go back into the house, yeah, and all this sort of stuff. There's a funny clip once that spoke about the hose, drinking from a hose. I don't know if you guys have seen it. So there's a new age guy saying, you know, why would you have to go and drink from a hose if you could just went inside and drink from a cup or whatever it is, you know what I mean? But back then, that was
because we didn't want to go inside.
Exactly.
You had to stay inside. If you went inside, you get locked back in.
Yeah,
like we had to turn on the hose,
and
right?
It was a hot water.
Let the hot water go out.
Get rid of the hot water. That's right. You know what?
Even during the pandemic, I saw some people like, man, I ain't worried about no COVID. I grew up drinking from a garden hose.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know? But the difference was we actually interacted with people. Now sending your kids outside is a punishment. I tell my kids to go outside. They're like, what did I do? What do you mean? What did you do? For us, it was a punishment. Like we would, and I'm saying this in a very nonchalant way, but like we would avoid going inside. We would use the bathroom in the woods if we had to, because we knew that if we went back inside,
that's it.
Our parents might be like, oh, by the way, stay inside. You're already back in, so stay in. No. We wouldn't
or
come
do some
in.
Chores we or other things. That's true.
Yeah. We were forced. Now our kids, to tell them to go out the side is like torture.
You know, it's funny. Whenever we get, people coming in and asking us what cataract is for eye operations and that, my response to them generally is, you know, when we were younger and we used to go outside, and then by the time we go inside, we can't see because of the sunspots that we have in our eyes. That's my explanation of how it's difficult for people to see sometimes and other things. But I can't actually explain that to a younger generation because they probably haven't experienced it before.
They get the sunspots from the devices, from their phones and the what do you call it?
Like I'm sure like if you tell a teenager that probably doesn't actually go out as often, they probably wouldn't actually comprehend what we're referring to.
Yeah. No, they're not. But one thing I tell a lot of my coaching, my counseling clients that are losing kind of this mental health battle is I ask them about their purpose. You know, I ask them, this is one of the core things I ask them about, like, what is your purpose in life? What drives you to wake up every single day? Because if you have no purpose, you have no life.
Yeah.
If you have no purpose, you have no life. If your purpose in life is just to get up every day and see what, you know, go to work, come home, clock in, clock out, make it through the day to the weekend until you can take some, I'm like, that's not a purpose. You have no drive. If you have no drive, if things go wrong in your life, you go with it if you have no purpose. But for those of us who have a bigger purpose, like Abu Ahmed, I'm sure you've been through many ups and downs in your life from talking to you. I know about your life story. Ahmed Danoon, we haven't gotten that deep, but I'm sure you have. I myself have had so many ups and downs in life. But having that defined purpose in my life is what's allowed me to be able to overcome each and every one of those hurdles. And I've learned that through, you know, looking at these big people in business. For instance, you take like Steve Jobs, for instance. Steve Jobs, what did he go through to become the person who would change technology as we know it today? You know, he was fired from his own company. Yeah. He was fired from his own company,
yeah,
and didn't have anything. Started another company, ended up buying it by, you know, getting back into Apple, then creating the iPhone, which changed the world. And all of it was because he understood his purpose was that he wanted to make technology. He wanted to give people the technology that they needed even before they knew they needed it. And that was his purpose. And so therefore, whatever he would go through, he would just keep going through it because he knew his end purpose. We as Muslims got to learn that.
Yes. So would it come back down to, you know, when you speak to them, like speak to, you know, any brothers or sisters that approach you, and I'm sure you probably go through it yourself as well. Would you like put points, like whether it's a mental note or not, in terms of personal fulfillment in your life, and what you want to achieve, in order for them to actually try to, you know, envision or try to aim towards that sort of vision. Like, because you're saying everyone's almost like in routine, work home. You know, there's no actual, like they probably feel that there's no fulfillment.
There's no purpose in life, yeah. Basically.
Yeah. We're like mice on a wheel.
Yeah, that's right. It just keeps going around.
If you look at Islam in general, you know, we're always encouraged to do more in good, in khair.
Yeah.
So whatever good you do, do as much as you can. For instance, if you pray your 12 daily sunnah prayers, for instance, what do you get as a reward?
You get a house built in Jannah.
House in Jannah. So we're always encouraged to do more. Think about it. You know, you're saying, okay, I'm living in this world, okay, it's going to be a short period of time. So Allah's put us here to worship Him. We know this world's full of tests and trials and all these sort of things. Yes, there's happiness as well involved. We're not saying that, you know, you're living your life just to be in torture and misery and all these sort of things. No, there's happiness also. You know, through your worship, through your family, through your children, through your work, from you getting certain amounts of wealth. No one's saying wealth is bad, nor is it evil. But what do you do with that wealth? That's our thing here. But also disattached from the dunya, meaning you have to remember there's a higher goal and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. So if the hereafter, is it forever or is it just limited time?
The hereafter is forever, inshallah.
So you have a goal and Allah's given us that goal. He's saying, okay, here this test life may be hard, but you have to achieve something. So you have to achieve something, right? So you spoke about Steve Jobs and all these sort of people. All of them put a higher level. They go, okay, I need to achieve this. Once they achieve that, believe me, they put something else to achieve as well.
Yeah.
They don't stop.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, then they're never finished. Yeah. They're never satisfied.
So for anyone who obviously is going through these, you know, these issues and that, you know, what would their first, what would your recommendations be in terms of, you know, trying to balance their life and coming back to their self-care sort of thing?
Look, from my end is always getting them to open up. If they don't think there's a problem, they need to say there is a problem. They need to acknowledge there is a problem. Then you can start working on things. Because if you've built up a wall, you're not going to get over.
Correct.
Over the wall, nor can you knock it down. You have to say, okay, there is a problem. Start to talk. Because if something's left in your heart and it's always itching at you, you're not going to get over it. You need to talk about it, get it out of your, you know, get, if you can solve it, if it's a problem you can solve, you need to solve it, yeah? If it's a lack of something you need to achieve so you can get past it. So this is what you have to just start by opening up, going to a person who's trustworthy. This is the main thing, not somebody who's going to, you know, use it against you or take advantage and all this. Yeah. You need to go to a trustworthy individual so they can help you and the right person. You know, if I've got a problem with obesity and you wouldn't have a clue, I can't come to you. You need to go to the right person. And again, this is one thing, as you know, Brother Yusha, and as well, that most people go to you know, mashayikh or du'at and all these sort of things, and maybe they're not qualified in that field. You know, if you've got a problem with business, if this guy doesn't know nothing about business,
they'll need to seek professional help.
100%. So depending on the problem they're going through, like today, subhanAllah, a lady came in, and she unfortunately had a bit of a problem. Something was taken from their home and all this sort of stuff, and she didn't know, but she said, oh, is there anything you can do for me? And I said, what do you mean? She said, you know, isn't there something we can do? I go, you want me to use shayateen to get information? I don't do that, unfortunately. Lack of knowledge. But she's thinking she can come to someone who's religious and get this information.
Yes.
Not unknowingly that's haram. You know what I mean? But this is how people, and that's another thing. When people get desperate, they go, unfortunately, to the wrong people to seek advice.
So, Brother Yusha, what motivations would you recommend to anyone who are going through these issues that may need that sort of self-care therapy happening for them to open up and obviously get back on track and, you know, aim to achieve, you know, what their motivation is in their life and their purpose in their life?
There's three small points for not being long-winded, because this is something comes up over and over and over again in counseling. Number one, I tell people you have to have a stubborn attitude. Survivors in this life, people who go through difficulties, one trait I'll tell you about each and every one of them is that we're all stubborn. You know what I mean? Like we refuse to give up. Like I have certain goals that I want to hit in my life, certain milestones that I want to hit, whether it's in my worldly life or it's in my hereafter life. And I'm stubborn. I don't like to fail. You know what I mean? I will go over whatever obstacles, climb through whatever traps, go through barbed wire fences, deep forest. I don't stop until I get what I want. So you have to develop a stubborn attitude, a very disciplined, stubborn attitude. And on top of that, you need to understand the race. the race is not a rat race in this world, because as Abu Ahmad said, it's finite. You know what I mean? The only the akhirah is infinite. And Allah tells us about the race, the rat race, وَسَرِئُوا إِلَّا مَغْفِرَةُ رَبِّي. The only race should be for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I tell them their purpose, no matter what they want to accomplish in life, you have to remember the final purpose, as Allah says in the Quran when he talks about the Prophet is a good example to be followed. But then he says what? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Those whose hope is with Allah on the last day. That's your final purpose. Everything in your life needs to be centered around hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day. And then this is an advice I give to everybody who's going through difficulties, stress, you know, all of these things. I tell them to make a list. This list has been monumental to me in getting through my mental struggles. I make a list. On one side of that list, at the top of it, I put things that I can change. On the other side of that list, I put things that I cannot change. And I think about the stressors in my life, the things that are bothering me, the things that keep me up at night, the things that cause me anxiety, the things that cause me depression, whatnot. And I ask myself, are these things I can change? If they are, I put them on that side of the list and I start making a plan on what am I going to do to start changing them. And if they are things that you cannot change, then these are the things that you have to get up in the middle of the night and pray about. These are the things you have to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll say it and I'll finish with this so that we're not too long-winded. I tell people, if you really want something, ask yourself this question. Are you willing to work hard for it during the day and pray hard for it at night? Because if you're not willing to work hard for it during the day and then get up in the middle of the night and pray hard for it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't want it as badly as you think you do. Because that night prayer is, Abu Ahmed, I'm sure you can give some more info on that, but that night prayer, that Qiyam al-Layl for people who are struggling, is like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, like it's an arrow that does not miss its target. It's an arrow that doesn't miss its target. So if you have something that's bothering you, talk to someone, as Abu Ahmed said, open up to them, but make sure you get up in the middle of the night and pour your heart out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will never fail you. Never.
Don't forget, many people's stress is because of the dunya. For instance, people want a house, people want a nicer car. Against this influence from this new technology or this new era of, you know, social media and all these sort of things. Saddatni, believe me. Let's just say you want a certain pair of shoes or you want a handbag because they're so expensive these days. Once that individual gets a handbag or shoes, what happens?
They're not satisfied. They want something else.
Yeah, they want something
else. It doesn't last long.
Yeah, they're
over it. Doesn't last long. You need, this is the thing. You need, you're never, ever going to be satisfied. If you're talking about generally the dunya, you're never, ever going to be satisfied. As is mentioned in one of the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the meaning, you need, if the Bani Adam had a mountain of gold, what does he want?
He wants another one.
Another one. And nothing's going to fuel the son of Adam is what? You need the throb, the dirt. They basically
the
want
dust to, of the grief.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the dust of the grief. That's going to seal your life. That's it. You know, and then you're going to be content. But then again, you've got some questioning in the grave. You're going to either have a pit of the hellfire there for yourself or a window of Jannah, and you're going to smell the reek and the fragrance of Jannah. So we just have to remember, just try to think outside the square that we're living in the moment, which is this showing us and teaching us this is how you should live your life. And you know, all the companies and these mega companies that know, you know, basically what to sell us, because they're listening, they're knowing what we're typing, and they know exactly what we want. Talk about, okay, I'm going to say this, right? I'm going to say, I want to build a shed. I guarantee you now on Facebook and all this sort of stuff, all these shed advertisements are going to pop up.
Yeah.
After this talk today about mental health, I'm going to start getting mental health ad pops up on my Instagram. Yeah, I promise you. But I want to ask you, before we close out, Abu Ahmed, I want to ask you one question. People ask me this all the time. If I'm a believer, right? I pray 5 times a day. I fast in the month of Ramadan. I give charity, like I do everything, you know, like nobody should consider themselves a good Muslim. That's a sign of a disease of the heart. But if I'm doing all of these things right, why is Allah putting me through so much difficulty? Why? If I pray, I'm praying, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Why is Allah making my life so miserable? How would you answer that if somebody came to that and told you that?
I've had that many times in the past.
That's my number one question in counseling.
Look, for my side, I always remind the people that you're not better than the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And again, we go through the seerah, and I love the seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because this fulfills the heart and gives you hope and understanding of why am I actually living. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was tested time and time and time and time again. And we're not better than him. Every prophet was tested, true or not? Yeah, so many things were taken away from them. So many calamities hit them. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you mentioned in the narration, yeah, that if Allah loves you, He tests you. Simple. So if you want a higher level in Jannah, it's not just going to come because you know, I'm sitting down and doing nothing. No, tests and trials need to come to you. This is the thing. This is a sign that you're a believer, a sign that you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He wants more for you in Jannah. And this is sometimes misunderstood in this time because of the mentality of the people and all the brainwashing that we're getting at the moment now. Because in this time, it's like, forget Allah. Everyone's becoming an atheist. There is no God. Yeah. And this is the mental state of the people. And this is why we're starting to question, if I'm praying my five daily prayers, why does Allah test me and trial me? But this is part of the dunya. And this is part of our going through these stages so that we can enter this Jannah. I guess, look.
Yep. And I always tell them to ask themselves, because you know they say, why me? Right? That's what everybody says, why me? I tell them, change that question, and I want you to answer me, why not you? Why not you? If our prophets had to go through so much stuff, what is it about you that's so amazing? So amazing, so absolutely amazing that you don't deserve any tests.
But you know what's funny, Yusha, is that everyone is asking the question, why me? So everyone is going through a test and trial. Because everyone does ask that. Don't you question yourself sometimes? Don't you question yourself? Even yourself, you'd question yourself sometimes. Course. You know, I'm going through this again. Oh my God. You know, you rest a bit, then you go again. You rest a bit, then you go again. So everyone is going through a personal trial, subhanAllah.
SubhanAllah, man. Allah, subhanAllah.
We're all going, that's one thing we need to remember. And that's an overall, I've seen this post on social media a lot during the pandemic as well. Treat people kindly because you never know what battles people are facing behind closed doors.
Yep.
That's true.
And if you see someone struggling, this is for everybody who's watching this podcast. If you see someone of your friends in your family, you know, someone you're close to, someone you deal with on a regular basis, and you see something has changed about them, changed about their demeanor, they become withdrawn, they seem more sad, speak to them, talk to them, and mean it when you talk to them. Instead of asking people, because we ask people how we are all the time, and it's fluff. Like, I don't really care. Hey, how you doing, brother? I'm all right. What if you say, oh man, I'm going through it, and whoa, I didn't mean.
I didn't ask that.
I just wanted a cup of water. That's all I wanted. Yeah, that's true. That's what happens.
But ask people how they are and genuinely mean it and be willing to listen to them.
I think,
that if you're struggling out there, it is not a sign that you are a horrible person. You know what I mean? That you're a bad person. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
But again, you should,
especially brothers,
to find the person that actually cares is another problem within all of society, not just within our ummah. Because where can you actually say how many brothers that you know sincerely care? Like, for instance, if you opened up, would they ring you back up and say, "Are you okay? Do you need anything?" And persist with that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I can't say that I'm gonna lose fingers of you. Like you can probably count them on your, you know, on one of your hands for the amount of people that you believe that you care. I'm not saying that everyone around me, but you have that sort of feeling of, you know, oh, okay, I could sense this person will, but this person won't, sort of thing. And you have that sort of thought process, subhanAllah.
And we need to become advocates for Muslim mental health services within the Muslim community. We need it. We need professionals. Imams are not trained to deal with this all the time. You know what I mean? They're just not. And I've seen it too many times over where imams have tried to deal with people with mental health and they've made the situation so much worse.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Like, we need to start dealing with this in an appropriate manner.
Yeah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy on whoever is actually going through any calamity.
So can we ask you, Mr. Ahmed, what is your purpose in life, inshallah, after all this talk?
Stay tuned to next podcast. You'll know.
He's a Dodger, Mr. Danoon the Dodger.
That's it, mate. Dodge Viper. For anyone who is actually going through any medical calamity in their life or any mental health, obviously, please seek professional help.
100%.
That's a given, inshallah. Otherwise,
Don't keep it in. Right. Don't hold it in and think, you know, you can deal with it, because you don't know. Shaitan will continue to the point of making you commit suicide or disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to do something. Don't leave it
Or you'll bleed, as the statement goes, you'll bleed on people who didn't cut you.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah.
If you don't heal from what hurt you, you'll bleed on people who didn't cut you. So heal yourselves.
Yeah,
I like that, actually, saying that's actually good. SubhanAllah, man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy on them all. Jazakallah khair for your time. Brother Yusha, may Allah reward you. Jazakallah khair for your time. Inshallah, we look forward to our next podcast, inshallah.
Inshallah, we're going to make this a regular installation for our audience so they can get to know us, get to know who we are, what we do, and that we're more than just a charity. You know what I mean? Like, we actually have concern for people. Because a charity, you think of people who are sustaining other people's physical lives, but we also want to sustain people's spiritual life.
That's right.
And, you know what I mean? And mental life. Like, the whole holistic approach that people, we want to keep them alive. We want to make sure they're sane, and we want to make sure that they make it to paradise, inshallah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, inshallah ta'ala. And reward you as well for taking your time. I know it's very hard for you to get here a lot of the times. So, alhamdulillah, we locked you in
the studio. So, one of my tests and trials in this life is Mr. Danoon. So, you know, I think I have to get up in the last third of the night sometimes, just to make dua.
Alhamdulillah, inshallah. As long as you make dua for me, that's the main thing, inshallah.
That's it.
Jazakallah khair for your time, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. And until next time, jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.